Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to another Tech Talk here on RNIB Connect Radio. And joining me, Stephen Scott, this week once again, it is Robin Christofferson. He's the really important guy at AbilityNet. That's how you would pronounce it, wouldn't it? That's fair.
I couldn't possibly comment, but it's an absolutely lovely experience to be with you, Stephen Scott of the RNIB.
You know, you say such lovely things. Even on Twitter, you say such lovely things. Do you mean them?
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you one of those like really nice?
Be horrible.
Yeah, but you're like one of those really nice, genuine people, aren't you? You're one of those. I'm confused. I work in the media, you see. I've worked in this game too long. Okay, so look, we've got lots to talk about. Oh, listen, we mustn't forget that Andy's here, our pair of eyes. Hello, Andy.
I'm a really nice, genuine person as well.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I know that almost sounded like I'm suggesting you weren't. Yeah. And I had no idea.
Just want to clarify that.
Other people existed. yes,
Hi.
Andy's here. Hello,
hello,
Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hello, hello, hello. So listen, we've got lots to get through. All the emails, and I know, Andy, you've got a truckload of emails to go through.
I know.
There are so many. We didn't get
so
to them
until
the last 10 minutes of the last show. Well, that is going to change this week. We're going to do two batches of them because there are so many. We're also going to be talking about JAWS this week as well. And Robin's going to be demonstrating one of the new features of JAWS 2020, which I think you're quite liking. And, you know, not only that, Robin, you've got another demo for us. And this follows up from one of our listeners getting in touch.
Yeah, sorry. Too much of a good thing, guys. You'll have to wait and see what torture you're in store for this week.
No, I think this is a brilliant thing, and I imagine lots of people are going to be going off and downloading this after they hear it. That's all I'm going to say. So look, just to put you in the picture here, right, so I'm sitting here, and for the first time, I'm using my Braille display for a note taker during the course of this show. So nothing will go wrong, obviously. So, you know, Robin, I hope you've got the notes handy.
Yep. And we've got an Andy as well.
We've got an Andy if it all goes really wrong. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those kind of shows today. So it is. It's Fly By Night Productions in full flow here. But anyway, let's get into our first topic this week, which is what's in JAWS 2020. Now, I had a look at some of the release notes, and there are a lot of them, Robin, about different features that are in there. And there was two things that stood out for me, I think. I mean, aside the fact that JAWS 2020 isn't revolutionary, it's very much evolutionary. It's all about moving the product on and, you know, enhancements rather than major feature upgrades. There were a couple of things that stood out. One was Zoom, the platform that we use to communicate. Mm-hmm. And we use it for our meetings, and I've used it for a lot of the things I do. I find it a very accessible platform anyway. But the good people at HartGen Consultancies, Brian HartGen in particular, put together some really useful scripts. Now, these scripts are available to buy. You can get like pro versions of these scripts. You can actually buy to implement with JAWS, so which means that you can use the platform. But you can also, I can now get it as part of JAWS 2020. But perhaps we should explain to people first off what Zoom is. And what I would say is it's Skype with bells on.
Because
it works.
Easy to use.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it actually is usable. It's a really nice platform. It's in the same vein as Skype, really. But it's kind of built more for meetings, more than one person, a couple of people, even up to hundreds of people, if you want, on there. And I've been to a few of the Sight and Sound webinars. JAWS also hold their own webinars for training. And if you go to one of these meetings, you'll probably find it's on the Zoom platform. It's a very good system, and you can use it. I know you were looking into this, Robin. You can use it up to 40 minutes for free, as in a 40-minute call, if you like. You can have 40 minutes free, but then beyond that, you would have to pay, or at least if you wanted to have longer calls down the line. So for example, I pay for Zoom so we can use it for our show, so we can get people on, because I obviously need more than 40 minutes because the show's 57 minutes, right? So, you know, that's why we do that, and that's why we use it. And I found it a brilliant tool. A lot of friends of mine use Skype. I just can't abide it. I don't know where you stand on it.
Really, really difficult to use now that it's gone over to kind of a web interface. It's one of these PWAs, personalized web apps, that are all the rage these days. We're not going to be able to get away from them. So when something like this comes along, which is beloved of the disabled community, the VI community in particular, because it's just so accessible and so easy to use, that now becomes mainstream. It really is the new hotness in online meetings. So you won't be raising people's eyebrows if you use it to schedule your professional meetings or meetings with people that haven't got a disability or a vision impairment. Then, you know, it really is the mainstream go-to online meeting platform, and it just happens to be really, really accessible. So yeah, really, really good. 40-minute. You can also record your meetings there. You can record everyone's voices together or separately. It's very, very powerful.
It is. And I'll say this, if you're wanting to make podcasts, this is a brilliant tool because you can get people on, and like you say, you can have them all recorded individually, which of course as an editor is exactly what you want, because then you can muck around with the voices, you can make sure that, you know, if someone coughs over someone else and that person's continued to speak, you want to be able to edit out that cough. You can do that with Zoom because it gives you those files at the end. You can also record the whole thing to the cloud. You can use phone apps with it. The phone app is very accessible. I mean, everything about it is accessible, really. But the difference between the scripts that are now in JAWS 2020 and, I'd say, an average user experience, and I'm an average user. I mean, I use very basic functions of it. But there's a lot more you can do. If we were hosting, say, a Tech Talk webinar, let's not give anyone any ideas. But, you know, if we were doing that, then we could have everyone could be joining in, someone could moderate and be able to control who speaks, you know, whose microphones essentially open at the time. You know, you can hear if someone has raised their hand in an audible fashion. All of that is accessible, but that, of course, requires a bit more detail and a bit more scripting to get that perfect, and that's what Hartgen Consultancies have done. You can buy more scripts that can do even more with it directly from them. But I think it's really good, and I'm trying to think, is this the first time we've seen such a collaboration between, say, Hartgen and Vispero?
I'm going to say no. I'm pretty sure that Brian's scripts have been included, but for the life of me, now that you've just sprung that question on me, I can't remember what, but I'm pretty sure that it's not the first time. Can't remember. Maybe with Dragon. Can't remember.
But oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, really, really good. That in itself is probably a good reason to update. It's a shame, really, that we haven't got the kind of SLA, the licensing yearly fee that they have in the States, which makes JAWS much more affordable. But yeah, definitely worthwhile. And if you're updating to Windows 10 because your Windows 7 is now expired, you may well have to update your version of JAWS along with it. And you know, that in itself is a really good reason to update if Zoom is your thing.
Yeah, someone asked me this the other day, what version of JAWS, you know, should you be on if you're moving up to Windows 10? And my understanding is I think it's JAWS 17 is really the sort of first official one, or at least the very least you can be on. I think you could probably get away with 16, but I think 17 is the better place to start. Although, obviously, if you were starting out now, you'd be starting off on 20.
One big factor is whether you what version of Office you use if you use Microsoft products. If it's the continually updating Office 365, then yes, 17 is the minimum. It really won't speak well prior to that version. If you've got the just single install one that you maybe even got on CDs, then you might be able to get away with earlier versions.
Yeah, that's the point I think that someone made to me at the time, which is probably why they suggested 17, because, you know, in the office we use Office 365 and it is forever updating. And there was a period where it was very difficult to use Office 365 and JAWS together. Thankfully, a lot of that has been resolved. So that's a good feature. I really do like that. And if you haven't tried out Zoom, you really should. I mean, you can get the free trial. You can use it for free up to 40 minutes on every call. So if every call you ever had was 30 minutes long, you'd never need to pay for it. So, you know, that's a good thing. So do check it out. Zoom.us is the website. Nice, easy website to find. And although I will say the website itself, despite the product being fully accessible, the website, although it is accessible, it's, you know, it's that usable versus accessible thing. There's a lot of buttons on there. So, you know, maybe not ideal, but if anyone invites you to a Zoom room, it will install the software for you, which means you don't have to do it again. So that's the upside. The other thing I really caught my attention was the convenient OCR. Now, we know that convenient OCRs existed in JAWS recently. I think it's been around for a little while, but it's improving all the time, and they've just improved the engine again, which makes it all operate. So, for example, if you're using the peril camera or you're using a scanner and you want to scan in a document, the character reading, the optical character recognition, which is what OCR is, then will be better on this version. So it's using, I think it's from Nuance, the
engine? It used to be from Nuance. Kofax OmniPage 20, formerly owned by or developed by Nuance. So yeah, it's leading edge. I think it also works on the OCR capabilities of, you know, in recognizing what's on the screen as well. So, you know, if you do insert spacebar, O for OCR and then W for window, it will use that engine as well. And then you can obviously arrow up and down and click on things that you can't otherwise get to. And it's part of this UIA automated accessibility that's very, very tricksy still. Mm. And, you know, if you're coming from Windows 7, you might be a little bit surprised about some areas of Windows that you're not going to be able to as easily access, and you might have to resort to something like this.
Well, they are trying to make that easier. This comes up in a lot of the feature updates, that this is something now that they're trying to enhance, but they're doing it by using this new mode, this new scan mode. If people use JAWS will know about the JAWS cursor, the PC cursor, the invisible cursor. But now there's a new one, Robin.
Yeah, there's a JAWS scan cursor and invisible scan cursor. So there's another two, but they are in effect the same thing. Yeah, this is really useful. I've been dabbling with it, and I think it's really going to help people. And it's probably, for me, the top feature in this new version of JAWS.
Okay, let's find out more about it.
This is a quick demo of how the new scan mode in JAWS 2020 works. It's really useful for getting around in complicated dialogues and also the Windows 10 store. So here we are in the Windows Update page of settings, and we're on this option.
Selected, Windows Update, 1 of 10.
So we're on the Windows Update. It's in a list. If I tab...
Windows Update. Your device will restart outside of active hours. List box 2020-01.
And I'll stop it there because it's going to read a great big long thing. If I tab again.
Restart now button.
So this is standard stuff. I'm just tabbing through a dialogue. But if you wanted to review things in more depth, so if I shift tab twice back.
Your device update and security list box. Selected. Windows Update.
So we're back on that list. So I'm going to go into scan mode, which is insert and then Numpad Plus for PC cursor.
JAWS scan to PC.
Okay, so JAWS scan to PC. So we're now we've got the JAWS scan cursor on. So this basically turns any dialogue or any kind of application interface into almost like a virtual. I know it said scan, PC scan, but it's like you can arrow up and down now and hit enter on things. So if I arrow down.
Restart required.
I get to the text about a restart required.
Your device will restart outside of active hours.
Just arrowing.
Blank.
Down.
2020-01 cumulative status colon. Pending restart. 2020-01 cumulative update for Windows 10 status colon. Pending restart.
So I'm just arrowing down through the different items and it separated them out nicely.
Restart now button.
Restart now. Not going to hit enter on that, but I could do. So it basically separates things out. Let's have a look at the Windows Store.
Start button. Task view button. Taskbar file explorer dash to running store button.
Enter.
Microsoft Store. Touch. Microsoft Store.
We're probably used to the touch cursor, which if I arrow to the right.
Microsoft Minicraft for Windows 10 Starter Collection. Get Minicraft, 700 Minicoins and start £24.99 plus offers and dash
now
out purchases.
Now the touch cursor mode is a bit weird, isn't it? And you get those little ticking noises and it just doesn't feel, we'd much prefer a kind of a virtual PC cursor format. So if I first double tap the Numpad Plus to go out of touch cursor into PC cursor.
PC.
And now I do insert Numpad Plus.
Just scan to PC.
And now if I start arrowing down.
£24.99 plus offers and dash app purchases. Get your first 3 months for £1. Access to over 100 PC games. This is your 365 premium best-selling games. Download now dot button.
And that's a download button for that one. So now it's like a virtual version of the page, which, you know, like a web page, anything where you can just arrow up and down and hit enter on things, it's much nicer. There you go. New PC scan mode with JAWS 2020.
Sounds good, Robin. Certainly a feature I think a lot of people will want to try out. Now, you've got some other ones there you want to mention as well.
Yeah, just briefly. So on the continuing with the cursor theme, when you want to toggle off the virtual cursor in some web applications like Gmail's application, you know, when the app itself is based in the browser, but you don't want to use the virtual cursor because it is in effect a desktop application, but just in HTML, then you can toggle it off with Insert Z, as we probably know. But as soon as you move away from that tab, then it loses that setting.
Yes.
So now in JAWS 2020, it will remember which tabs that you've got open have had those toggled off, and it will retain that, but not when you close the browser and open it again, or when you close JAWS and open it again. But that's still going to be really, really useful.
You've got to change a setting in. So when you go into the application settings through Insert 6, you can open it up, and then it would ask you, I think you just go down to virtual cursor and you just change it to, you know, essentially turning it off when you switch browsers or browser tabs.
That's right, for your preferred application like Chrome, for example. You just search for the word tab they recommend. Contracted Braille input has improved a lot across a number of very popular apps.
So I didn't realise it was quite so poor. I thought that we'd have been way ahead on that one.
To be honest, that was a revelation to me.
Yeah.
Because I thought that it wouldn't have anything to do with the app that you were typing into. I thought it would be part of what JAWS would just deliver, the same effective keystrokes wherever you're typing into, but apparently not. So, yeah, I'm sure that people that are affected by this will be saying hooray, and people who aren't won't, you know, will have been as bemused as we were about that one.
Well, I'm using grade one, so it's not really affecting me at this stage. But obviously, you know, nothing's a problem until it happens to someone else. And, you know, once the day it happens to me, I'd be kicking up over it. But you're right. I mean, because when I use the iPhone with it, which is actually primarily what I'm using my Braille display with, you're right. What I type in doesn't get sent to the phone instantly. It essentially gets sent over once I've finished, you know, deciding what it is. So if it's a number, if I put in number 1234, it won't send it until I hit the space bar, because at that point it will translate it into text.
I would imagine it would have to do that on a desktop as well, because, it's not until you finish the word that you know what it is. But I don't know. Really sorry. Not as up on Braille as I should be.
Yeah, you're going to get told off for that later.
Later on. And then finally, to complete the set, improved basic training tutorials, which is fantastic.
Yes, very good. Just go to the JAWS menu, insert J, and then look for help, and it will open up FS Reader, which is really something I really need to get my head around. And what's good as well is when you go into FS Reader, if there are books there that need updated or you haven't got, it will update them and download them for you, which is great. Okay, well, that's it for JAWS 2020. Tell us your thoughts if you've managed to get hands on it. I've already installed it on my computer. I've upgraded to it, and I really like it. I've not noticed any reason not to make the move. Mm-hmm. And especially because now with Microsoft Edge being released as the new Chromium version. Is that right? Chromium? Is it Chromium or Chromium? I don't know.
Chromium.
Chromium,
Chromium,
right.
Yep.
Chromium, that's probably something else. Probably something we shouldn't talk about. But the Chromium version is going to be more accessible, for sure, we hope. So
one thing to flag is that the update to JAWS on February the 4th will sort out a known issue with that new version of Microsoft Edge, Chromium version. So, yeah, if you have an issue with typing or reading back text that you've typed into edit fields in that new browser, then the February 4th update will sort that out.
Okay. Coming up, we've got one of your questions on Ask Tech Talk. We're going to be finding out what Jim has to say. He's got a question for us, and I think I may just have the answer for you, Jim. That's coming up, but first, to your emails.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Every day.
Here's your mail today.
And Andy's here with the first of our many emails this week.
Many emails.
Yes.
Hello, team, says Alan. I sat down last night to watch the much-advertised premiere of Star Trek Picard on Amazon Prime. No audio description.
I know!
Neither on my smart TV or on the iOS app. For such a high-profile and new programme, it is very disappointing that Amazon do not provide AD. In fact, it is disgusting that in 2020, companies are still getting away with this. The programme is an Amazon original, so they are both the content creators and platform providers. I think we pointed out that this is a CBS programme as well.
Well, we will.
Yes. By the way, he says, it has been... It has always seemed strange to me that audio description is commonly accepted as the responsibility of the platform delivering the content rather than the original content creators. It should be the legal responsibility of content creators to include their own audio description track when they release their TV program or movie so that the providers can offer it. The optimism often expressed by some members of the Tech Talk team is once again shattered. Accessibility will only become normal if it is enshrined in law, and we must not stop pussyfooting around organisations that are ignoring it. Forget Domino's in the US. Has there ever been one prosecution in the UK under the Equality Act in support of accessibility? That's from Alan.
Well, that's a big question. I tell you what I can talk about, audio description on this new series. So, you know what, I'm not a Trekkie. Okay, by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know about you, Robin. Were you ever a Trekkie? I get the feeling you
were. I was when I could see.
I had that
Give me plastic rocks and nice explosions, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know what any of that means. But what I will say is I was not a Trekkie. But I did quite fancy watching this series because I like Patrick Stewart. And you know, it's one of those series that my dad watched it. He was a big fan of Star Trek through the years. And he loves watching all that stuff. And I just thought I'd kind of like just to get into that a bit. So I thought, okay, it's a new series. I'm hoping, or I'm fairly certain that, you know, it's new and it's from Amazon. It'll be available with audio description, but of course it wasn't. So I'm with you, Alan. But, you know, as Andy's just said, you know, that's actually a CBS programme. Now, this is in no way an excuse, and I'm not making excuses for anyone here.
No.
But the reality is, we've got to be fair to this. It's not an Amazon original. This is an interesting point. I think Amazon... they need to maybe think about their wording here, because Amazon, it is an original, must be a collaboration of some kind that allows them to say it's an original here in the UK, but actually in the States, it's broadcast and produced by a company called CBS. You've probably heard of it. It's a big TV channel there, and it's available on their CBS All Access platform. Now, I did check with a friend of mine in the States before we started. Did the show have audio description on CBS All Access? The answer is no, it does not, which means it doesn't have audio description in the States, nor does it have it here. Does that make me feel any better? Not really, but it's just the truth of it. So whilst the show is on Amazon here and it's labelled as an Amazon original, it's a CBS show. And it doesn't have AD there either. This is not unusual for CBS programmes, I've got to say. A lot of CBS shows come out with no AD, and this is very irritating. And it is irritating because, you know, Andy, I know you quite fancy watching this. In fact, you may have already started.
Yeah.
And I know others in the office have talked about it. And, it, you know, just to be able to turn it on and watch it is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, in just that little extra bit... could just make all the difference, and it really irritates me that I don't even have the choice now.
I mean, I struggle to recommend shows to you now because I know they're not going to have AD, so you're not going to watch.
Yeah.
I can't say, Stephen, you'd love this, go and watch this. No AD? Well, there's no point then, is there? It's just really, really disappointing.
And I did try it. I did put the episode one on, and I thought maybe I could just get through it. You know, I think you've done that as well, Robin, sometimes. You just kind of have a go at it. Will it
well,
work?
I'm usually sitting there with somebody you can see, so...
Yes,
I wouldn't
true.
Do it otherwise. I wouldn't.
Well, I did. I thought I'll give it a go, and I couldn't really make much sense as to what was going on. I think there was bits I should see, you know. So that's obviously what the AD would have helped. But anyway, it's not happening. So I don't know what the answer is to that. The fact is, it hasn't happened yet. But we are going to get in touch with CBS. We'll drop them an email here at Tech Talk and see what they say. Probably tell us to get lost. but you know, don't ask, you don't get.
While you're on that soapbox,
yes,
Stephen. This is
I'm always on that soapbox.
Yes.
I feel like that anyway.
It does. This one's from Simon. It says, hi, Steve, Robin and Andy. I was very excited to hear about BritBox, a new streaming service provided by the BBC and ITV. But I am totally disgusted in them both as a service does not provide audio description, even though many of the shows were audio described when originally aired. I think that it is insulting, as it demonstrates once again thoughtless apathy to the visually impaired, which is only magnified by the fact that both providers have shown excellence with audio description in the past. What do you think? All the best from Simon.
Simon, I find it very hard to disagree with you, because the thing is that a lot of these shows have been audio described already. The audio description is available. This is a new platform that was created last year. I mean, I imagine the actual work that went into making the platform probably started a year earlier, but it didn't happen 100 years ago, you know, before they invented computers, the ability to code and make apps. You know, all of this would have been thought about, I would have hoped. Subtitling, I'm not sure about this, but I don't think subtitling is available, or if it is, it's in very limited programs, which is also bad. You know, that's not good either. You're then excluding deaf people from being able to watch the telly. It just seems consistent, doesn't it, Robin, that it's happening again and again and again. Now, BritBox have said, in fairness to them, that they are planning to put audio description in this year. But what that means, when, if, whenever, who knows?
So it absolutely is something that should be prioritised and is unacceptable, particularly where you've got original content which did have audio description available for it. It is a complicated issue, though. Going back to Alan's previous comment about, you know, it's unacceptable and there should be legal action taken, there certainly has been in the UK in the past and probably still is underway. I was an expert witness in one of those cases. It's not as straightforward as you might think, though. Under the new public sector regulations, which the BBC are covered by, actually online content is exempt from that. So, but they're But they're obviously going to, you know, they'll hopefully do the right thing and add that on. But
hang on though, because the thing is, there is legislation going through. In fact, it's already gone through Parliament, hasn't it? Legislation that will then allow broadcasters, or will make broadcasters make sure that their content is audio described and signed on demand, because at the moment the legislation only covers linear broadcasts.
Yep.
So if you're watching BBC One or BBC Two or ITV or whatever, you know, if you're watching those channels, there is a certain amount of programmes that must be audio described, but that's not the case on demand. And it never will be unless there's legislation.
Yeah, and we would hope that they would be gearing up in anticipation of that so that they will be ready for it and compliant when that comes into effect. If you want to plug for another show that Stephen and I happen to do, the TechShare Procast, that's two words, has much debate and interviews with experts in the area of compliance, legal compliance, both here and in the US. And we, you know, do subscribe to that. It's a really good podcast. And there's an episode called Carrots and Sticks, which I would point you at for a lot more discussion about why it's not quite so straightforward, even if it's a legal requirement. You know, just getting people to comply is challenging, and we have regulations here which mean that if your expenses that you've incurred in taking people to court are actually higher than the award that you get given, then you'll actually be out of pocket. You have to cover all of your expenses in taking that organisation to court if they happen to be higher than the award. And that's really, really frightening, and will be a chilling factor for a lot of people considering it. So, yeah, it's difficult. Let's just try and be as vocal as we can to push things forward.
Do you think sometimes, though, that the blind community doesn't help itself, Robin? I mean, I often think this. I speak to people who say, oh, I don't use audio description. I don't care about it. It doesn't interest me. And I think the tone is
important, and we should be as constructive as possible in approaching these people.
We don't speak as one voice, and of course we don't. We're not a homogenous group. We don't all think the same way. I get that, and I stand up for that all the time, because I hate people who have this idea that a blind person thinks one way, so therefore every blind person thinks that way. That's not the case, right? But there are some things we've got to get behind. Even if it's something that we're not necessarily going to use or benefit from, we've got to we've got to get behind it, because as one voice in that case, and in this case with audio description, you know, it can benefit so many people. Now, I know you don't watch much TV, but I'd be surprised to hear you say, yeah, well, I don't care, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter that Stephen can't enjoy Star Trek Picard. That's just the way life is.
I don't think anyone would say that if they felt strongly about the principle of the thing. And yeah, this is a no-brainer, really, isn't it? You know,
well,
we get so much information visually from TV and films, etc., that it's just, you know, it should be sort of table stakes, really, in helping blind people get the same value out of it, and they're paying for it after all.
The bit that makes me bang my head against a wall fairly regularly is the fact that they've done the work already. You know, the audio description is there. I mean, okay, maybe not in the case of Star Trek, for example, but, you know, in most cases with BritBox, most of that, if not all of it, has been described. So why not just make it available in some way? Would it really have cost them so much extra just to do that? And it's no wonder people who are blind feel that we were second class, even third class, even less than citizens at times. I feel that on a fairly regular basis with this, because you think, hang on a minute, it's 2020. You know, look at the technology advances. How can one company, Apple, for example, or Google, how can these companies do so much to make products accessible? And yet you have a broadcaster, that, especially the BBC, that it's their job to make their products as available to as many people as possible, and they've missed out on this. It just makes no sense. I can understand it. I could almost let it go if it was just ITV. Say, look, commercial decisions. I'm not happy about it, but I understand how we got there. But the BBC. Mm. So anyway, let's move on. I've had enough of a rant on this. keep your thoughts coming in, though, because they're important. Okay, what else have we got, Andy?
Dear Tech Talk, writes Chris, I am writing in response to an email that you read out on a recent podcast about what are the best speaker set to go for. Mm. I have a pair of Bose speakers that are connected to my Bose CD system. I've been using their products for 21 years, and I have never been disappointed with any of the company products that I've bought from them. I'm also a fan of Apple as well. I currently own an iPhone 7, which is fantastic. Couldn't get on with any of the Android products that are out there. It sounds like something you'd write here, Stephen.
I didn't write that email.
However, the likes of Samsung are slowly catching up with Apple, but Apple will always be at the top when it comes to making products with good accessibility built in and let you also connect an iPhone up to a Braille to a speech device to use as a standalone Braille display. How about that for technology? I've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast since I got my very first iPhone back in 2013, and I haven't looked back. Like Kelly, I am also a huge gadget lover. I look forward to listening to the next podcast. Keep up the good work, from Chris. Or is it Stephen?
Definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, thank you, Chris. Really appreciate
that.
Thank you. Okay, what else have we got?
Email from Harvey. Hello, team. I'm a new listener, and I was very impressed with Robin's feature on the Mac. I'm missing those menus we used to have in Windows 7 so much that I'm thinking of going Apple.
Ooh. Thanks, Harvey.
So can we have more on the Mac and its associates, please? Just one gentle critique. Gentle, he says. When you're demonstrating commands, Robin, could you slow the speech a bit? It's good to hear how the screen reader responds, but yours is set on a high speech rate, which means that messages are garbled over the internet connection. Hoping for more, best wishes from Harvey.
Yeah, as you told, Robin.
Guilty as charged. Do you know what, guys? That was the very first demo I recorded.
That's
Stephen
right,
yeah. Lent on me hard enough for me to buckle. So the ones since, hopefully, have been better. But we had been sitting on that one for a while.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of your early ones. And yeah, we've all learned that lesson. It's interesting. I was listening to a demo of something the other day. Can't even remember what it was now. And it was a blind guy doing a demo of something on YouTube. And his speech was set way faster than I would have been expected to listen to it at. And he actually said, I've got no time for people who listen to slow speeds. And I thought, well, that's helpful. But yeah, it's obviously a bone of contention for a lot of people. I think you're right, though. I think if we're demonstrating, it should be slowed down.
Yeah, I mean, I did slow it down, I must say.
You did?
For that one, yeah. In my defence, but obviously not slow enough.
All right, calm down. Okay, what else have we got?
There's a very long one here from Sue.
Oh, hello,
this
Sue.
This is coffee related.
Oh, this goes back to last week.
Okay. Yeah, last week's episode. Hi, everyone. I listened with interest to the coffee making and did wonder why poor Andy didn't get a cup.
It's yeah, it is a tragedy.
Moving on. I hope you've had one since.
Yeah. This is how I'm treated here. So I have found a really brilliant machine, even easier than Stephen's Tassimo, and probably just a bit easier to use than Robin's syringe.
That sounds really bad.
That doesn't sound right at all. Okay.
It's referred to, it's the Nespresso, no, is this Citiz? C-I-T-I-Z. Citiz?
Citiz?
Yeah, it's made by Krupps.
Terrible.
This coffee maker is a dream to use. It has no complicated controls, no tricky tanks to fill, and no filters or dead grounds to mess with.
What?
This machine will allow you to make a small espresso-sized cup of coffee or a larger cup. We also have discovered that if you run the long function twice, it will fill an average mug with room for milk. Well, Steve will need that because he takes a lot of milk.
I do like a lot of milk.
The short function gives a good, strong coffee. The long version gives a good strength, and two presses of the long function still makes a very acceptable cup of coffee. So what do you get? The machine is a very compact design. The water tank sits neatly at the back and is very easy to remove. You just gently pull it backwards. And to pull it back, you just gently offer up the back and it will slide back in again. The rest of the unit is all on the front. On the top, there are two buttons on the left and on the right. As you move to the front of the machine, you will find a large handle. It's easy to grip and nice, smooth action. Moving to the front face of the machine, there are two stands for cups. The bottom grid sits over a large tray to catch any drips. Just lifting and gently pulling will allow you to remove and clean the drip tray. And that's it. To operate the machine, you simply fill the tank and make sure it's sitting comfortably in its correct position.
Hang on, Sue said there was no tanks to fill.
Yeah, it's a bit. Maybe it's removable tanks, she means. Maybe the tank sits in the machine and you pour the water in from there.
Okay. I'm not aware of this machine at all. This sounds quite interesting.
No, I might have to Amazon this and see how I've got a price for you, but yeah. There is a light that comes on to let you know that it's up to speed before you press the button. Now is it accessible? The clever bit is, this will allow just very hot water to come through, so you don't need to add a capsule. So, yep, just pop in a tea bag in your mug or a cup, and you can make a single cup of tea.
That's good.
This would win me over. A machine that does tea and coffee, yeah.
Well, that's the Tassimo does that.
Yeah, you can just
go for
water,
kettle.
Can you?
Yeah.
It's also called a kettle, yes.
Sorry, carry on.
The machine has an automatic turn-off function, so you don't even need to worry about forgetting to turn it off. You can simply set it to turn off automatically after 9 minutes and 30 seconds.
Tassimo does that as well.
Mm. We found our machine in Currys, but it's also available elsewhere. Ah, that goes into price. It costs around £120, much less than a lot of the machines, and it was very easiest to use that we could find.
I don't know. I mean, the Tassimo, I could get one for about £40 in a sale.
I remember you sending me a link over Christmas, Stephen, of the Tassimo being hugely reduced in price, so I would suggest that that does happen quite a lot.
But I mean, they can be expensive. And yes, it depends on when you buy. I think the one I got was the Caddy, and it was about £120, if I remember rightly. But how much was your plunger again, or syringe?
20, 25, something like that. And I will say that dealing with the dead grounds is the most fun. That's the best bit.
Oh,
where
right.
It pops off into the waste bin. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm glad that we all like our coffee.
Like our coffee, yeah. I could do with one right now, actually, now I'm thinking about it. right, let's get another email. I know we've got Ask Tech Talk to do, and we've still got another feature to come. We're going to be hearing all about a media downloader tool, which I really want to get in this hour as well. But I'm enjoying the emails, so carry on, please.
We're on a roll. This one's from Aaron. This is following up on a chat recently about the importance of Braille. Mm. Stephen, Robin and Andy, I couldn't do my job as a sourcer without Braille. I believe that no matter what the visual status of a child is, they should be at least exposed to Braille.
Yeah.
Braille is important not just for the grammatical spelling of words. Braille's importance is also needed for the proper formatting of writing, such as Word documents and proper email writing. I write and read a ton of resumes, emails and interview questions and responses on a daily basis. Not to mention that I'm usually on the phone a lot as well. If I didn't have a Braille display of some kind, I would be lost. I cannot stand when VO decides to chatter away when I need to take notes. This behaviour is rude and unacceptable to me. To put VO chatter another way, X is as if you're dealing with a child. At times, reality hits you that your phone is speaking over the person you're trying to have a conversation with. It's very unprofessional to hold on a minute, my phone's trying to talk to me. Dealing with the sighted public as much as I do, I don't want them knowing over the phone that they're talking to a blind person until they meet me in person. Anyway, keep up the good work on the Braille, and shame on Robin for not using his skills so that many people would love which is literacy. All the best. That's from Aaron.
Shame on you.
Shame on Robin.
There's a bit of a theme going here.
There is.
ongoing.
Don't you remember when you started doing this show, Robin, and you got all the lovely emails and everyone was so happy and lovely to meet you and it was all very nice and you're now part of the family, you see.
If it's warranted, then I put my hands up. Absolutely, yeah. I need to brush up on my... what she doesn't know, though, is that my Braille is so bad that it would take me whole minutes to read the different kind of packets of medication that are in our cupboard to see which is the paracetamol.
Well,
so
yeah,
it's that steep a climb that I would have to
fingerprint course.
There aren't enough hours in the day is my defence.
That's a terrible defence.
Yeah, it is, but super, super busy.
It's one of those things, all right. I mean, I said this about Jaws as well. I put it off for years, and of course, there comes a point where you just can't put it off any longer. And that was the case for Jaws anyway. With Braille, it was more of a choice because I could get by with audio. I mean, I can get by fine with audio, but it's interesting. Certain words, like that word earlier, I'm saying chromium versus chromium. You know, I've never seen that word written down, so I don't know how you would say it or pronounce it, you know. And very quickly you hear about it because it's sped, you know, passed on a screen reader. So you're kind of picking things up, bits of things. I don't ever feel I've got full control of what I'm reading, is what I'm trying to say. And
chromium is a chemical element, but we'll gloss over that. That's a pun, by the way, because it's very shiny. But anyway,
you just did a science joke on this show that has lost on so many people, including me. Right, look, let's leave it there because I want to get back to the emails in a minute, but let's go to our Ask Tech Talk question this week, Andy. One of our listeners, Jim, has been in touch.
He says, "Chaps, I'm looking for a wee recommendation. I have an iPhone XR and I would like to get a wired microphone to record direct to the phone for interviews for our podcast. Maybe something with an accessible iOS app. I don't mind spending a little bit extra money for a product. Cheers." That's from Jim.
Okay, Jim. Well, I have done a bit of research on this for you because Robin's hopeless. I had to do it. I'm just saying. this is my field, right? I should really know the answer to this one. There are two options you have. So you said wired microphone, which I thought was rather interesting. The first option I would give you, if you want a wired mic, like an actual good old-fashioned style microphone, like a karaoke mic, if you like, that is wired, then go for the iRig HD2 microphone. You'll get it from a company called IK Multimedia. You can buy them on most places, actually, you sell it, including the Big A store. IK Multimedia, the iRig HD2. I say that one because, specifically that one, because it is a better microphone. It's the original HD wasn't great, but the HD2 is much better sound quality from it, and you can use it, connect to your iPhone using a lightning port connection. Really good, really good microphone. Comes in about £120. It kind of moves around in price, as often these things do. Do check it out online. The other one I'd recommend is the, and this is an old favourite of mine I've mentioned before, the Shure MV88. Now that's Shure, Shure, MV, which is short for Motive, and for some reason Motive without the E, 88. So that's the name of the microphone. And that is a lightning port mic, but it actually connects to your phone, and that's it. So you kind of have your phone turn into the microphone. There's no extended microphone from it. You essentially just hold the phone as a microphone and you can angle the little mic. It's movable on a little tilt head on the top, and you can use it as a microphone. Very good microphone as well. Possibly one of the best iPhone mics I ever used. That was how good I thought it was in terms of audio quality. Although you do get a lot of the pops. I can't do it on this mic, but the pops that you get on microphones, you get a lot of that off it. So you've got to be careful how you use it. But if you're looking for recording an interview, I would say the Shure MV88, which turns the phone into a mic, or the iRig HD2, which you can use handheld and put your phone on the table. The apps for both are reasonably accessible, but you can use the inbuilt Voice Memos app if you want. So, good options, I think. Robin, you happy with that?
Yeah, and because I'm not a Braillist on a regular basis for the last 20, 30 years, I had no idea that Shure, the company, was spelt that way, so thank you.
Well, there you go, you see. Only because I read it in Braille. It does, it's useful for something. Andy, I know we always like to reflect that this is all part of the Technology for Life team here at RNIB.
It is. Yeah, we would recommend that if you have any technology questions, big or small, that you can ask the Technology for Life team at the RNIB by calling the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Alternatively, if you'd like it to be read out by my dulcet tones, then you can use the hashtag on Twitter, AskTechTalk, or you can email us at techtalk@rnib.org.uk and you can join the overflowing inbox that we have.
We will get
to your question.
Not kidding. We've got so many emails to get through. I think next week, Robin, we should just focus on emails next week.
I'll try my best.
Just stop doing demos for 5 minutes, will you? Now, speaking of demos, we got an email from one of our listeners, Greg in Pennsylvania, regular listener to the show. Hi to you, Greg. And he told us about a fantastic media downloader tool if you want to save audio from or video from YouTube. And Robin has been checking it out for us this week.
I wanted to do a quick demo of Punty's media downloader, which Greg from Pennsylvania told us about in a recent episode, because it's so good. And also because I said that it was, as far as I knew, just for Windows. But looking at the site again, it's for Windows, Mac and Linux as well. So it is really, really versatile and it's so easy to use. It's designed specifically for visually impaired people, so it's super screen reader friendly, and literally everything, every item in the menus, every control in the UI, in the interface, has a keystroke. And I would invite you to explore the menus because it's so powerful and so customizable for your needs. Now, I have visited YouTube. I have picked a video. It's of Pam Ayres, my favorite poet. And I've picked one of hers that I really like called They Should Have Asked My Husband. I would strongly recommend trying to listen to this one. We'll hear a tiny bit of it today. So I have gone to the address bar. I've pasted that URL, that address of that YouTube video, into the clipboard. And I'm on the desktop here.
Punty's Media Downloader 10 of 48.
Punty's Media Downloader. So I've installed the app, really simple to install. I've now got an icon on my desktop. And by default, it will just grab the URL and paste it into the right field on opening. So if I just hit enter now.
Punty's Media Downloader. Punty's Media Downloader. List box. Best source format available. 1 of 11.
So you heard a little noise there. It's automatically put the URL into the box above and it's taken us down to the one below, which is asking us for the format. But if I just shift tab.
URL colon edit. https://www.youtube.com.
I'll just stop that. So there's the URL automatically went in. If I tab back again to where we were a moment ago.
Source format colon combo box. Best source format available.
So the source format, you can choose from a number of different formats. I would just leave it on this. Best available, which is the default option, and it will try and find the highest res video, for example, if you wanted to save it off as a video in the next drop down. But you can choose from a number of different items there, but let's leave it as is.
Target format colon combo box convert to MPEG layer 3 audio left paren dot MP3 right paren.
So here we are in the next drop down, and so the quality of the video won't matter because all I want is to get an MP3 recording. But if I drop this down,
convert to MPEG layer 4 audio left paren dot M4A right paren.
M4A.
Convert to uncompressed audio left paren dot WAV right paren.
WAV. And I could carry on going. There's loads of different audio formats. But if I go up again,
convert to Vorbis audio left paren. Convert to MPEG layer 3 audio left paren. Download original video only left paren. No conversion right paren.
So now, above the MP3 one in the list are all the video formats. And this is, you know, keep the original.
Convert to AVI video left paren dot AVI right paren. Convert to MPEG layer 4 video left paren dot MP4 right paren.
MP4, etc. So if you just choose the default one for the download option, then it'll try and grab the highest quality video. And for this one, if you probably just choose keep original in this list, then you'll get the best quality video downloaded straight to your computer. But let's go back down to MP3.
Download original video only. Convert to MPEG layer 3 audio left paren.
And now if I tab again,
right paren, download button.
Download, hit enter. So it's starting the download. The next field down.
What? New notification from Java left paren TM right paren platform SE binary. Potties media downloader. All downloads completed.
So what you heard there was first a tune that it had finished downloading, and then you also saw that Windows notification as well. What I was in the middle of saying was that this box is where you can choose where you want the download to go to. And the next box,
table, Pam Ayers dash they should have asked my husband.mp3 selected,
is a table of all the things you've done recently. Now I've got mine set to go into the downloads folder, and so I've got a hotkey for that. So the quickest thing for me to do is to open my downloads folder.
Downloads, items view multi-select list box. Pam Ayers dash they should have asked my husband.mp3.
There it is, let's hit enter.
This is a poem I wrote because I'm of an age when a lot of my friends' husbands are retiring now. And I observe that for some of the couples, this is a tremendous and exciting success. But for others, it takes a bit more getting used to.
I'll just stop it there. You've got to listen to this poem. She's obviously just doing the kind of intro to it there, setting the scene. But yeah, they should have asked my husband. Check it out, guys.
So there you go. Greg in Pennsylvania telling us about that. Ponties. Ponce. It really does depend on your screen reader how that gets pronounced. Mine says Ponce and yours says Ponties. So
yep.
We're going to split the difference and say it's Ponties. Okay, well, there you go. A really interesting tool. I think a lot of people are going to be going to download that one, Robin. Thank you for reviewing that. Right, let's get back to the email, shall we?
Email.
Got to do it again.
We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Still no idea why there's a doorbell in there.
I know. You're wearing it out at this rate. Yeah.
Change the batteries.
Quite an episode, yeah.
Right, let's get back to the inbox.
So this one is from Rocco. Hi there. In your last episode, I heard Stephen mention that you can't play Netflix with your iPhone locked. On my phone, I start the Netflix app, I start the show playing that I want, and when you lock the phone, it stops. If you then use two-finger double tap, the magic tap, it will start the audio from Netflix. Please give this a try. It works for me in Australia, although the Netflix apps may perform differently in different countries. And that's from Rocco.
Yeah, thank you, Rocco. We did actually have our answer to that one recently on the show, but we are quite happy to mention that again because it's a useful tip for people. And it doesn't really matter where you are in the world, it still works the same way. So, you know. That's all good. Okay, thank you for that, Rocco. What else have you got, Andy?
Here's a nice quick one from Bill. I just wanted to ask, is there any way you can install the Microsoft Narrator voices on my Google Pixel 4 Android phone?
Why would you want to? Why on earth would you want to do that? Okay, well, I'll tell you one better than that. I don't know the answer to the Microsoft one, but I know that you can get Vocalizer Expressive. That's what it's called, isn't it, Robin?
Yep.
Vocalizer Expressive. You can download the app on the Google Play Store. Some of the voices are hilarious, but you can buy all kinds of voices on there. You do have to buy the voices. The app itself, the Vocalizer Expressive app, is free to download. Once you've installed it, you can then select a voice. Now, I know that, Robin, you're an absolute...
Ava all the way.
Yeah, you're in love with Ava. So everything in your world is an Ava voice.
Yep.
Well, you can buy Ava, and you can have her on your Google phone if you like, which is great. I think it was about £3.50 when I downloaded it.
Which isn't
bad.
Unbelievable, because on the desktop, when they first came out for Jaws, it was like £200 each or something.
That's right.
Probably wrong about that, but
it was a lot of money. And you had to buy them individually as well.
Yep.
So it's the same with this. You can get, you can get the Ava voice. You can also get, weirdly, children's voices. You can get the Queen voice. Yes, your phone can announce the time as the Queen. And it's almost believable. I mean, obviously, we should point out here the Queen did not sit down for a sesh with the voice people. That's not how it works. But But if you want to believe that, that's fine. So yeah, download that. As I say, the app is free from Google Play Store, but the individual voices will cost. So just be aware of that. Okay, what else have you got? Hope that helps.
Jacqueline's been in touch. Hi, after listening to your podcast about Dan Williams' Can Do Cafe and asking for feedback, I thought I'd send in an idea that could be a great addition. At my old college's dining room, there was a speaker on the wall with a button to press whenever you wanted to hear that day's menu. Other than just having large print and braille menus, it would be great if each table could be fitted with an audio device that did the same thing and read the menu. Kind regards from Jacqueline.
Do you know what that makes me think of? You know when you go to the bus station? Now, Robin, I know you travel by Bentley, whatever you go, but you know the rest of us who use buses. You go to the bus station, right, and there's a button on each of the stances. And if you press the button, it tells you when the next bus is coming in. And I think that would be, that's the kind of idea we're talking about here. I quite like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple idea, yeah. Just having them read out. You could imagine a cacophony, though, if everyone was pressing their buttons on different tables, but you'd have to get the volume kind of pitched just right.
Yeah,
idea.
Everyone's sitting saying, what's that button for? And then the kids start pressing it. And it gets very irritating very quickly, yeah. An automatic shut-off button required as well. Okay, interesting. Well, we're going to leave it there for the emails because we're almost out of time. I just want to quickly mention a story that came up, and it's worth knowing this, that RNIB have been working with Amazon, and in fact the relationship with Amazon has been ongoing, but the process is now to enable, or the work that's been done, it now enables you to get sight loss information via Lady A. So you can say things like,
how do I get registered as being blind? Yep. Or what can I do if I think I have sight loss? We demoed it on a recent dot-to-dot episode, guys. So if you want to hear it in the action, then or just ask your A-lady, I suppose.
Well, that's right. Or you can actually find out more and even hear a demonstration on the RNIB website. You can find that at rnib.org.uk. I think it's great that this information is available, especially information about registering as sight impaired, or, you know, what do I do if I'm losing my sight? I mean, those questions are so important because they're questions that you might only ever ask a device. You might never ask someone else. And if it gets you to the right person and gets you to the right information, Robin, that's got to be a good thing for sure.
Yeah, and we're seeing these collaborations. We've got it with the NHS, where you ask anything medical. We've got it with Recipedia, Wikipedia, obviously. Yeah. And now for the RNIB to be in there as a really high-profile source of information, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's not a skill. You don't have to download anything or do anything. It's just available, which is brilliant. So do check it out. That's it from me and Robin this week, and Andy as well. Thank you, guys.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
And don't forget to keep your emails coming in at techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can ask Tech Talk as well that way, or you can drop us a tweet, #AskTechTalk. See you next week.